All right, so you know Aaron Donald is good, but do you understand exactly how historically good he is? That's next on Locked On Rams.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you click that subscribe button both for our Locked On Podcast and our Locked On Rams YouTube channel, free and available wherever you get your podcast. Just click that bookmark, that checkmark, whatever it is. Make sure that you're getting this every single day. My name is Travis Rogers. I am your host of Locked On Rams. I'm also the host of the Rams pre- and post-game show on their flagship station, ESPN 710, right here in Los Angeles. Got a very good show scheduled for you today. Debo Samuel, Kyler Murray, not at OTAs for their respective teams. What does that mean for the Rams? That's coming up in just a little bit. Matthew Stafford getting a little work done on his elbow, not quite ready to throw yet. They're targeting training camp. How important is that he is ready to go by the start of the regular season? That's coming up in just a little bit. But I want to talk about Aaron Donald to start. I want to talk about how good he is. And that sounds like, okay, Trav, we've done that a million times before. We've talked about Aaron Donald being good. How insightful is that? Well, I saw something that made me say, what? I mean, you know he's good. I know he's good. We know he's the best defensive tackle in football. You know that he's, you know, going to go to the Hall of Fame. We know he's that. But when I saw this, it really kind of brought home a whole nother level. Aaron Donald just turned 31 a couple of days ago. Happy birthday to you, AD99. Here are some of the highlights of his resume. Aaron Donald has played 8 NFL seasons, okay? 8 years he has been in the league. He has made the Pro Bowl 8 times. So let's just stop right there. 8 times out of 8, Aaron Donald has been one of the best players at his position. So he shows up as a rookie and he's ready to go. And every year since then, he's been on that level. Good enough to play in the Pro Bowl. And I know, you know, thinking, okay, yeah, Pro Bowl, you know, sometimes some guys slide in because other guys drop out. And you're right. The Pro Bowl bid is good, but it may not be the perfect indicator of just how big of an impact you're having on your team and at your position. Okay, so let's go to the next line on the resume. The next line on the resume is 7-time first-team All-Pro. That's different. Okay, that's different. There is one guy at each position on first-team All-Pro, right? There's one quarterback, there's a couple of wide receivers, there's a tight end, there's a guard, there's a center, another guard, and a couple of tackles. But there's one guy is the point. So you need to be the best guy at your position to be first-team All-Pro. He's been in the league 8 years, 7 different times he's been first-team All-Pro. Okay, that means a couple of different things, and we'll get to one of these things here in a second. But what it means more than anything is you play every year. And not only are you available every year, but you are dominating every single year, that you are controlling your position at a level that no one else is able to do every single year, 7 out of 8 times. 7 out of 8. I mean, that's not okay. We've seen it, and I don't mean to throw cold water on anybody else's resume, but guys will pop at first-team All-Pro for a year or two, and then they go. That's the way it's supposed to go, right? You get to the top, and then you start to get a little bit older. Maybe you have an injury. Maybe you change teams. Maybe a different coach comes in, and it starts to fade a little bit. Maybe you pop back up at one point, and it starts to fade again. Maybe. Not Aaron Donald. Does not miss. 7 times first-team All-Pro. Okay, let's go to the next one. Rookie of the Year in 2014. Well, sure, right? If you're a 7-time All-Pro, first-team All-Pro. I don't want to say All-Pro because they're a second-team, third-team. First-team All-Pro. Rookie of the Year in 2014. Well, of course. He is recently a Super Bowl champion. And this is not a, hey, I was on the team when they won the Super Bowl. This was, I am on the team when they won a Super Bowl as the best player on the field, making the biggest plays of the game at the biggest moments. NFC Championship game, they win because Aaron Donald gets his hands on Jimmy Garoppolo. Super Bowl, they win because Aaron Donald gets his hands on Cincinnati running back on third down, gets his hands on Joe Burrow on fourth down. They win the Super Bowl. Here comes the confetti. The Rams are champs at SoFi Stadium because of Aaron Donald. Okay, so it's not just that, look, the first half of his career was going in a very different direction. He was a great player on a bad team. And now he's a great player on a great team, in large part because he continued to play at the level that he's been at. It's extraordinary. We're not done. There's more. There are more things with Aaron Donald. We are just getting started, right? Three-time defensive player of the year. So in other words, not only am I the best defensive tackle in football, I am the best defensive player in the league. There are other really good defensive players in the NFL, but three times out of 8 years, basically half the time, he's been the very best. And I would argue the five times he didn't win it, he at least was in the conversation or finishing very close to the defensive player of the year. This is not, hey, I got hot, a good year, bad year, good year, bad year, good year, bad year. He's a member of the all-decade team for the 2010s. Well, of course he is. He's all of those other things. That goes without saying. He's a 90-plus in Pro Football Focus grades every single year. Good players don't do that. Great players don't do that. To be that consistent time after time, season after season, is just absolutely remarkable. It defies explanation. So as good as you think he is, he's probably even better than that. As important as he is to the success of this team, multiply that by a factor of 2, 10, 20, 50, because that's what he means to this team. And then lastly, and I think this might be the most impressive thing of all, I think this may be the one that jumps out to me more than any of the others. He has missed 2 games in 8 years. 2 games. Both of them are not injury related. Both of them were, he missed a game because he was in a contract. He missed that one game at the beginning of the year. Another one, he sits out because the Rams have the division locked up and he's not going to play. Think about the position he plays. Think about the risk that he puts his body at week after week after week, season after season after season. He never misses games. And it's not because he doesn't get hurt. It's not because he doesn't have bumps and bruises and aches and pains and shoulders and backs and knees and ankles and everything else that football players have to deal with. It's that he just goes out and plays. And it's not just, well, I'll gut it out and I'll go out there and do my thing. He goes out and plays at an Aaron Donald level. Extraordinary. Literally, by definition of the word, it is extraordinary. So as good as you think he is, he's better than that. And that does, and Aaron Donald, if you know, we're doing Madden things, he's a 99, right? Okay. He's probably 114 because you can't go to 114. I don't play Madden. I don't know what I'm talking about right now, but you understand what I'm getting at. He's an A triple plus. So a lot of A's. There's a handful of A pluses. There are not A triple, quadruple, sextuple pluses. And that's exactly what Aaron Donald is. Okay, coming up next, I want to talk about Matthew Stafford and his elbow and what that means for the Rams as they're getting through their OTAs and getting ready for the camp. That's coming up next. But first, our next partner has a product that I literally use every single day. I started taking AG1 because I wanted a little more energy. I wanted to feel a little better. I wanted to make sure that I was getting my day off to a good start every single morning. And instead of taking a million different things from a million different places, I found AG1, Athletic Greens, and it's just one scoop into a cup of water every morning, and you drink it, and it's not one of those terrible chalky, I can barely choke this down. It tastes good. It's a little fruity. It's a little tropical. It is absolutely fantastic, and what I've found is I'm sleeping better. I have more energy. My focus is better. All of those little things that you might not even realize that they're a little bit off along the way until you go and you fix it, and you feel so much better, and that's what AG1 has done for me. And if you're thinking, yeah, Trev, that's great, but what about the price? What about how expensive it is? It's less than the coffee that you're buying, right? It's less than $3 a day. So if you're thinking about an investment in your health, you got $3 to do it. It's probably cheaper than the coffee that you're buying. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance and you will feel better. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. One scoop into a cup of water every single day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Let me give it to you again. athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Thanks again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day. And for your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, so the Rams are in OTAs, right? They're dealing with their organized team activities, and they're getting the rookies out there, the undrafted free agents, some of the veteran players. They're just kind of getting together and knock some rust off, go through some things, learn some terminology. And this is kind of the beginning of the football part of the upcoming season. We've done the draft. We've done free agency, all the things that come along with kind of building your roster. This is the next step, right? Okay, so Matthew Stafford was there, and he took some snaps along the way, but he didn't throw. And we found out that he had an injection right after the Super Bowl in his right arm, in his elbow, for something that he was dealing with all season long. And, you know, we kind of speculated without really knowing anything, like, okay, maybe he's hurt. Maybe he doesn't look quite right. Because there was that month in November, Matthew Stafford didn't look like he was playing all that well. And it looked like he was struggling with some things. So he's not throwing at camp. And we'll see when he's ready to go. When he was asked, he said, I don't know. We're still working on it. Sean McVay was asked, the goal and the thought process was he'll start to ramp up when we get a little closer to training camp. Okay, that's fine. But look, if he's not throwing, that means that, he's recuperating from an injury. He's recuperating from the treatment process, from the therapy that he has been getting. So it's something. Now, I guess the question is, how much of a something is it? How worried are you if here we are, it's, late May, and he's dealing with elbow problems and he's still not ready to throw? If he got the injection right after the Super Bowl is reported, it's 4 months ago. He still can't throw? Okay. I mean, I on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, he's never going to play again, and 1 being, you don't even give it a second thought, it's 4.5, 5. It's something to be in the mix of what you think about, because what did we talk about on yesterday's pod? Another good example of why you need to make sure that you're listening to the Locked On Rams podcast every single day and you're subscribed to it. Click that subscribe button right now. He threw a couple of passes in the Super Bowl that there are not a lot of guys in the league that can make. The no-look pass that we talked about yesterday to Cooper Kupp, I don't know why that's not the cover of every sports magazine and internet and football. It was bonkers. He's looking over here. He threw it over there. It's crazy. Point being, John Wolford's not going to be able to do that. There's nobody that's going to be able to do those sorts of things. That the amount of experience that he has, the stripes that he has right now to come in and say, look, I won the Super Bowl. I won a playoff game on the road against Tom Brady. I'm ready to do this. I beat a team that we couldn't beat for 4 years. When it came in, we beat it when we had to have it, and we got it done. So he's got that credibility. He's got that equity in the bank to be able to come in and do those things and have everybody buy into it. Here's why I'm a little less concerned about it than like a 4.5 or a 5. Sean McVay. Sean McVay was able to win games with Jared Goff. Jared Goff is okay, right? Jared Goff is, and I understand that I'm not the biggest Jared Goff fan in the world, but he's not the worst quarterback in the league. He's in the bottom half, bottom third, bottom quarter. He's down there is the point. They went to the Super Bowl with him. They were in the playoffs multiple times with Jared Goff. Jared Goff did not have the most accurate arm, the best, the deepest arm, all of these things. He was fine. He was good enough. If Sean McVay can find a way to scheme guys open, to find opportunities to score points, to gain yards, to pick up first downs with Jared Goff as the quarterback, I think they'll find, as long as Matthew Stafford can get the ball in the air. Right, we saw Peyton Manning do it a few years ago at the end of the line when he was playing with Denver. He couldn't throw the ball 10, 20 yards down the field, and they still won the Super Bowl. They won it by having a really good defense. They won it by being pretty smart. They won it by maximizing what Manning could do. And I'm not saying that Matthew Stafford is in that part of his career where Manning was, where he couldn't get the ball 10 yards down the field. What I'm saying is, if he's compromised to a degree but can still play, Sean McVay is going to find a way to make that work. Sean McVay will find a way to make Matthew Stafford a viable quarterback, even if he can't throw that 95-mile-an-hour fastball over the middle into a window that's the size of 2 footballs. Maybe he can't do that anymore. We'll find a way to get guys open. We'll find a way to use the tight end, to run the ball more, whatever it might be. That's Sean McVay's responsibility. But he will find that. And Matthew Stafford, even before he came to the Rams, and certainly once he was here and we got to see it firsthand week after week after week, not a wimp at all. Matthew Stafford is a tough NFL football player, a rugged, hard-nosed NFL football player. So if he can go, he's going to go. Give it a few more months. Get ready for July. Get ready for August when you can start to throw and start to build up. Get ready for the opening game. And then if you got a problem, then we can readdress this and figure out exactly how much time he may miss, if any, or how limited he might be. We're not going to see him in the preseason. So you're going to have to have your eyes open at practice and at minicamp and see exactly what it is that you're looking for. Okay, coming up next, a couple of other NFC West teams already off to a weird start, doing the Rams a little favor when they really didn't need one in the first place. That's coming up next. But first, our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, which can't end fast enough, by the way. My goodness. Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And if you were listening to me, and don't ever listen to me when it comes to this stuff, but told you about the Angels a little while ago, maybe you get pretty good team. Odds are getting shorter and shorter. Probably wanted to get on it a little bit earlier. Bet Online, where the game starts. So we just talked about the Rams being in OTAs, and we talked about Matthew Stafford being there and taking some snaps. His elbow's not quite ready to throw yet, et cetera, et cetera. But he was there, right? And then some other guys weren't, so I don't want to paint a picture that every Ram player was there. Jalen Ramsey wasn't there, but whatever. He's Jalen Ramsey. He's going to show up, and he's going to be just fine. And by all accounts, Jalen Ramsey is not disgruntled. He just wasn't at organized team activities, which are voluntary by definition. Okay, so the Rams' two competitors in the NFC West this season are pretty obvious, right? It's the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. And these are the two teams that I think, if everything breaks right for them, they can give the Rams a run for money. If things break a little wrong for the Rams, maybe the Rams find themselves a little bit lower as far as win totals go. And instead of having a 12, 13 win season where you're comfortably on top of the NFC West, you're in a 9, 10, 11 kind of pocket, and you're battling with the Niners or the Arizona Cardinals. Maybe. Not certainly not out of the question. But here's what's going on in those two places. Kyler Murray is not there. Kyler Murray wants a new deal. We've known this for a long time. Remember, Kyler Murray went eighth grader after the playoffs, and they got beat by the Rams and deleted his social media and all that other really silly, stupid stuff that I don't think the quarterback should get involved in, because, look, if the quarterback is doing nonsense, then it gives license for everybody else to go do it, right? That's just kind of the way that these things go. There are positions where you got to kind of be the guy that's a little bit buttoned up. And I'm not talking about like dress and all that kind. I'm just saying that I come to work every day, I get it done. If I got a contract dispute, then I'm going to go deal with it over here, and I'm going to talk to him, and we'll figure it out. And we either will or we won't, but I'm not going to let it affect the way that we're getting ready as a team. Kyler Murray's not there. And is it the end of the world? No. But is it something that just kind of speaks to the culture, that speaks to their commitment to trying to run down the Rams, to trying to run down the 49ers and the Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or any of the other NFC teams that we think might be pretty good this season? I don't think so. If your quarterback is I want what I want what you want, and Kyler Murray wants what he wants. But there are ways to do – you don't see quarterbacks do this all that often. It's pretty rare that a guy isn't showing up. The opposite is usually true. Guys are coming together, and we're doing some things down at the local high school or junior college or whatever, and throwing. And, okay, again, doesn't make it like you're going to go to the Super Bowl automatically. But it's just these little things. Like, does it work? And there's a whole bunch of smoke that it doesn't work with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, that it doesn't work with Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals. And the point of all this is to say that this kind of clears the decks for the Rams to a certain point. That the Rams can, you know, if look, the Rams and the Cardinals, they already have a rivalry. I shouldn't say a rivalry, a relationship that's kind of like a hammer and a nail, right? They're together, but they don't really have a equitable relationship. The Rams beat the Cardinals. They beat them every time that Sean McVay's played them, except for once last year early in the season, and then they took care of them on Monday night. They took care of them in the playoffs. They did it when they needed to do it, and they've done it just about every single time. So I would think if I'm the Cardinals, you got to get ready for everything that you can possibly get ready for, and this isn't the way you do it. And almost the exact same thing is going on in San Francisco, only at a different position, unless with Debo at wide receiver. And let's kind of put this out there. The 49ers are trying to figure out what they're going to do with their quarterback situation. Jimmy Garoppolo is still on the team. Now, they're reportedly actively trying to trade him. they're trying to find somebody that'll want him, but he's hurt. He's rehabbing from an injury. So do you really want to trade for a guy that is a question mark health-wise? Probably not. Do you want to trade for a guy that's a question mark health-wise and maybe is just kind of NFL average? Probably not. So you have Jimmy Garoppolo sitting there, taking him to the playoffs, taking him to the NFC Championship game a year ago. And here you have the guy that's the new guy, Trey Lance, who's trying to establish himself, who's trying to create relationships, who's trying to become the starting quarterback in a meaningful way. His number one weapon is Deebo Samuel, and he's not there. Again, it's OTAs. It's not training camp. It's not games. I understand that this is about as low-level concern as it can be, but it's not zero. If I'm Trey Lance, I'd like to throw to Deebo Samuel as often as I can, including OTAs, where we have everybody else around. Let's work together. Let's get to know each other. Let's figure each other. What do you like? What do you not like? What do you, you know, what works for you? What works for me? And kind of working your way through these things. And the Cardinals and the 49ers, two arguably, Kyler Murray is the most important guy by definition because he's the quarterback. Deebo might not be the most important because of his position, but he's in the top five, maybe the top three. And he's unhappy and he wants to leave and he's not there with the new quarterback who's trying to hold on to his job with the other guy looking over his shoulder. Something. And it's all good news for the Rams. Okay, I heard a crazy theory about Aaron Donald that I want to get into on the next episode of Locked on Rams. That's why you got to click that subscribe button. Thanks for making us your first listen every single day. Now make your second listen, the Locked on NFL podcast. Our national NFL experts and insiders keep fans dialed in with the biggest stories and the latest news from around the league because an offseason doesn't equal a break in the action. Follow Locked on NFL every day on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, whose house? It's Locked on Rams' house.